call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Colmer, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday to you. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Glad you could be with us. I'm going to start this hour with news that's not really news because we knew it was news a while back, but it became news yesterday because it more or less became official. And that is Vince Carter announced he is done playing professional basketball. 22 years in the NBA, but we knew this was going to happen because he had said so at the beginning of the season. He said this was his final year. But you never know because he was playing for the Atlanta Hawks, and the Atlanta Hawks were not one of the eight teams that were going to Orlando. So it became official. He's done. And he said so on a podcast that he was doing. But, you know, you never knew if he was going to say, well, the season got cut short. Maybe I'll give it another good old college try for season number 23. But 22 years in the NBA, 43 years old. Vince Carter was one of my favorite players. I think he was a lot of people's favorite player. And not favorite, but a guy you just enjoyed watching play. He was one of the first Toronto Raptors, and he was a major star for the Toronto Raptors when they came into the league. So he influenced a lot of kids in Canada. But his longevity puts him on that upper echelon of professional athletes that were still doing it in their 40s. He wasn't a role player for the Atlanta Hawks. He didn't come in, averaged 2 points a game, got a couple of minutes, and was just trying to collect an NBA paycheck to see how long he could go before somebody told him to stop. He was actually playing pretty well for the Atlanta Hawks at 43 years old. But he joins that list of, you know, there's a lot of players who've played into their 40s, but, you know, like the Ricky Hendersons of the world, the Tom Brady's of the world, right? Guys who just have been around, and Jaromir Jagr in the NHL, who just continued to play long past when normal athletes sort of hang it up. He went and went beyond that. He's going to have a good career in the media. That's been brought out a lot today, is people saying, look, he does very good studio work. He's done good studio work in the past where they've asked him to do TV. So he is going to be a free agent in that regard. But 22 years in the NBA, of all places, is something to be cherished and something to be honored. And, yeah, I loved watching Vince Carter, and he made it official yesterday that he is done. But, you know, we kind of already knew that. All right, coming up, something I just saw on a video at the TPC River Highlands this week that makes me just, it's out of my shoes. We'll talk a little golf coming up as we get on a Friday.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. So I mentioned earlier, Vince Carter did make it official. He announced his retirement. He has played in at least a period of time in four different decades during his career. Remarkable career. 22 years in the league, mostly with Toronto and the Nets. But a lot of people remember him when he was in Toronto and his slam dunk competitions. And also, you know, look, when you have a star like him that is moving, you know, into Canada, the league goes into Canada, and he becomes kind of an iconic figure in that country. It's kind of a neat role for somebody to have. But he was just his longevity and the way he continued. He played the game really well all the way through. I mean, he wasn't slouching it at 43 years old. But you'll be seeing him on the team when basketball comes back, and there's a television role for him in some capacity. All right, so the PGA Tour is going on at the TPC River Highlands, round one of the Travelers Championship yesterday. So golf, the PGA Tour was doing this little feature on Bryson DeChambeau online. They had like a video of him on the driving range. Now, we all heard the story that he had bulked up, but I hadn't seen him take practice swings or swings. And this video that the PGA Tour posted on social media blew me away. This guy is not only bulked up, he is swinging that club at a speed I have never saw it swung. Only thing I could compare it to was guys on those long driving shows you see like late at night on ESPN or whatever, where it's like, it's the long distance driving competition in Mesquite, Nevada. And they show guys at these driving range hitting them 400 yards, but they're using extra long clubs and with swing speeds and like the 180. That's Bryson DeChambeau now. And apparently it's really working for him so much that it's impressing other golfers and other players. Now, listen, is it a trend? That was my concern, because it's obliterating golf courses. Is it going to be a trend? Are you going to see guys take their game to the next level? The young guys that are going to say, look, if I got to put on 25 pounds of muscle and play the game the way he's playing it, I'm going to do it. I don't know, because I think golf is still a strategic sport. I think you can overpower it. But some of the long drivers of the sport haven't always been the superstars of the sport. Yeah, John Daly has won a few times when he mesmerized crowds at the PGA Championship in the early 90s. He went on to win a British Open. And Tiger Woods, of course, was a long-distance driving guy that was obliterating. They called it tiger-proofing courses when they were making them longer. But the reality of it is golf still comes down to, you know, short game and putting. But if you can hit a 9-iron into a green when everybody else is hitting, you know, 6-iron, that is an advantage. But I never saw a pro golfer swing like that. I mean, look, he looked like, you ever had a buddy go to a driving range and never played golf before, but he's kind of strong? You know, maybe he's strong in something else. And he just thinks like, I'll just whip this club as fast as I possibly can, wherever the ball goes. You know, maybe you're at like a fun center that's got like a racetrack and some video games and batting cages and the typical driving range where there's some clubs lying around and you just get out there and swing and whatever is whatever, right? That's Bryson DeChambeau. That's what he looked like. He looked like your buddy swinging as hard as he possibly can, except he's a professional golfer that can hit it straight. And he's got science behind it because he knows all the spin numbers and he's trying to manipulate those spin numbers to get the best result. It's so amazing to me how technology in golf has just elevated that sport, but yet it's still as challenging as ever. You know, Ben Hogan didn't have a GPS laser machine to determine his ball spin and flight. He just went out to the driving range and just hit balls and mentally figured it out. There's a famous quote about Ben Hogan. He was at a par three with his caddy, and he asked his caddy what the distance was, and his caddy said about 156. And he said, is it about 156? He says, well, is it 157, 158, 155? And that's how accurate Ben Hogan was, like in the 50s. But now, you know, these numbers down to this precise decibel. I mean, right down to the number. And Bryson DeChambeau is one of those mad scientists who figured out, well, if I add bulk, I'll get swing speed, and now I can obliterate golf courses. He tried during a practice round at this course. He attempted to drive a par four that was 420 yards over water. There's this nice hole there that players use. It's got like a small strip of land. It's mostly water on one side, and then there's the green. And, you know, the idea is you kind of lay up with an iron off the tee, and you kind of play it strategically that way. He thought, well, I might have the distance. And he did clear the water on the practice round. He said wouldn't do it in a tournament, too risky, but he did clear the water on the practice round. That's obliterating a golf course. And, you know, yesterday I was at the driving range because I was kind of had nothing to do. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll go hit golf balls on this nice day. I was the only one at the driving range in my local course. And I have one of those laser things. You point to a flag and it gives you the number. And I turned around because our driving range, I mean, at this course probably goes out to like 280 before it hits the woods. So I turned around and in the openness of the golf course, I chose a target way in the distance, like a green that was way in the distance. And I just went, lasered it up, and it was like 380. And I thought to myself, that guy is trying to hit the ball that far. And it blew my mind. It blew my mind. That's where that sport is heading. That's where the sport is heading. And it's, I don't know what you do. Everyone says you got to dial back the ball, but you're not going to build it. You're not going to build golf courses longer, because where's the land going to come from? You just can't. So you just hope for the best that there's some sort of element to the game that is still something that's bringing the scores into some stratosphere of normalcy. It could be tougher greens, tougher pitches for the short game. But as far as distance goes, maybe Bryson's on to something. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Ron, I did want to bring you in because yesterday there was a real big news that Liverpool won the Premier League.
They did.
And this is apparently a big deal.
It's a huge deal for... What, Liverpoolians?
Is that what it's called?
Liverpoolites? I don't know.
Okay. 30 years since they won the Premier League?
30 years. I guess that'd be like the equivalent of the Cubs winning, the Red Sox winning. It's you know, or maybe not the equivalent, but...
I don't know. But 30 years is still a long time.
30 years is a long time, especially for a club like Liverpool that's always flirting with the top flight.
All right. So is this a team that... is good and finally got it?
This team is really good.
Okay.
And it's put together the right way. I'm going to say the right way in the sense that, yes, they went out and bought players, but they didn't overspend buying all the players.
They didn't overspend by... Okay, so... So
a lot of it's homegrown talent.
Traditionally, is Liverpool one of those teams that's like, man, I don't know when they're going to cross that hurdle and get a championship. They're good every single year. Or was this like... Over the last couple of years, they finally pulled it together.
They finished second last year. They missed out on winning the championship by a point.
All right.
Prior to that, the way that EPL works, you know, if you're top four, you go to the Champions League. You know, fifth and sixth place team, they go on to the UEFA Euro Division, which are all European competitions where they play against other club teams from other countries and whatnot. They have consistently been in the top six, I would say, year after year after year. They've won the Champions League but didn't win the Premier League. So they won the European competition. They've done that a couple of times, the European tournament, but they couldn't win the Premier League. They have came close many times. They came close, I want to say it was like 2008, 2009. They just needed a tie to win it. And their main star, Steven Gerrard.
I remember him.
He had a flub beyond flubs. I akened it to the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs type of flub, where he had the ball, was dribbling it, just trying to kill time, getting ready to pass it. He slipped and fell, and the ball went right to the other team's forward. And then as he stood up to track this guy down, because the guy just all of a sudden, you know, he got the free ball, and he's just one-on-one with the goalie and took off. Steven Gerrard slipped and fell again, and this guy scored.
Ah!
And like I said, all they needed was just to hold on the ball because they would have won the Premier League. They would have won the title.
That's awful.
So that happened, and it was like in the 90th minute of the game. It was, you know, that's why I say it was like a Bill Buckner-esque moment.
So they had thousands of people pouring into the streets.
They had yesterday. Yeah, there's no social distancing in Anfield.
No social distancing
around Anfield.
No worries. So if there's a spike in the Liverpool area, you'll know why.
Yeah, but I think Liverpool will be like, "Oh, we're fine with that."
Yeah,
we got
well,
the title.
Good. I'm glad because it doesn't feel that way with some people. You know, where you go out for a good reason, there's a spike. And then everybody complains about the spike, and everyone was like, but you told us this was important back in the, you know, so yeah, I hope that's what people in Liverpool will be saying a month from now.
30 years, you're talking about a team that has, I think now with this win, has the most championships, because they haven't always been the Premier League. The Premier League started like around the 90s, but there was always a top flight league. And they had the most, or they're now tied with Manchester United. It's one of the two. I can't remember.
So 30 years, I mean, that's
significant.
That is a long time. I'm trying to think of like an NFL equivalent to that, where a team's been pretty good, has had a history of being good, but has just not crossed the finish line in 30 years. I mean,
well, I don't know if 30 years isn't
Dallas.
I was going to say Cowboys.
Close.
I was going to say Cowboys. It's
not been quite 30 years yet, but it's getting close.
25 is pretty close. I would say it's like the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a team that traditionally are one of the better teams in the league, a recognizable brand around the world. Liverpool's a recognizable brand around the world.
Right.
You know, if Dallas goes another 5 years before they win a Super Bowl, that is Liverpool.
All right, so if Dallas wins a Super Bowl like in 5 years, you'd be like, oh, look at this nutty fan base that's all over the globe celebrating like crazy because it's been a while.
You will have Cowboy fans who witnessed 95 but we're not around to witness 2025.
Gotcha. All right. And that's what's going on in there.
And that's what's going on right now.
It was a big deal. I saw almost every place I went to last night and this morning and prepping for the show, it's one of the lead stories of the day.
It has to be.
Of the celebrations that are going on.
It has to be.
Liverpool.
It's kind of remarkable, too, because, we're talking about like a 2.5, almost 3-month layoff.
Yeah.
And they were able to pick up right where they left off.
I was talking about golf, and Rory McIlroy won the British Open at Royal Liverpool, and he got boos because he told people he was a Manchester United fan.
Yeah.
So he was.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's kind of funny because Manchester United and Liverpool, they're bitter rivals.
Right.
And it's just because both of them have, I want to say they were tied at 19. This might have been number 20 for Liverpool, or this is number 19, and they were tied at 18.
So, all right. Well, that's good for Liverpool. I'm glad. 30 years in the making. All right, coming up, something we talked about yesterday is now becoming a reality in college football. I'll tell you what that is as we continue with Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, so yesterday on the show, we talked to Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel. We were talking about, look, this college football season could be the strangest one yet in terms of scheduling, right? There's going to be games that are going to get canceled. You know that, and I know that. The idea that every game that's on the schedule right now is going to go off without a hitch is ridiculous. There are going to be teams that are not going to want to travel. There are non-conference games that are going to be viewed as irrelevant. There are going to be conference games across this country that are going to get canceled. And there might even be big, important conference games that get canceled because of the coronavirus. Not all the games will be canceled. I do think there'll be a season. I think there's just a lot of variables at play that are going to prevent the season from being played out exactly the way we see it. That's already being anticipated by the conference that is the College Football Playoff Committee. They are already anticipating the uneven schedule and are already saying that games are going to get canceled. Bob Bowlesby, who is the Big 12 commissioner, has already said people are going to miss conference games. There will be disruptions to the college football season. The important thing is that the committee is weighing each schedule differently. That's one of the key reasons that teams get above other teams in the standings or in the rankings when the committee puts it out, right? There is the record, obviously, but there is also who you've played and how well you played against certain competition. But imagine if certain competition is taken off the board for some teams while other teams did get to play that really tough game. There's going to be a weight factor here when it comes to the committee and how they evaluate the college football season. Now, look, in the end, the safety of the kids is at utmost importance. The safety of the players is absolutely pinnacle. I mean, it's the most important thing these schools have to do. And as we gave the example yesterday of like Eastern Washington flying to Florida to play the Gators, that's something nobody needs to do that. Nobody needs to get on a plane, fly across the country, play a football game. Even if it's for $1 million for your program, you just don't need to do that, especially in a hot zone like Florida. But what if the Florida-Georgia game is canceled this season because of coronavirus, because Jacksonville remains a hot zone, right? Or Florida remains a hot zone, and they don't move it, and it just gets canceled. Well, that's a critical game in the SEC East. That's going to be a critical game for both of these teams. Both of those teams are, for example, are contending for that Eastern Conference. And if that game isn't played and you're weighing Florida and Georgia in a big group of teams that are going to be competing for four slots in the playoff, and there isn't that mutual game against each other that sort of eliminates one, I'm curious to see how the committee is going to do it, because it sounds like to me, if there are going to be key conference games that are going to be taken off the board because of coronavirus, it sort of does add the possibility of having to process a lot more teams. We say this every year in college football. Eventually, this stuff gets weeded out, right? We say it all the time, right? When we go into, let's say, week six or week seven, and we're like, oh, look at it. There's so much parity here at the top. There's Alabama, there's Clemson, there's Oklahoma, there's, you know, all these USC, there's, and here's Georgia, Florida, and all these other teams in these conferences, Texas. But eventually, Ohio State, Michigan State, you say the same thing all the time, which is, yeah, but eventually there's attrition here. Right there, some of these teams are playing each other. One of them is going to win. One of them is going to be out of the running. That's what you expect. You know, when Michigan and Ohio State are both having really good years, you know that at the end of the season, one of them is going to suffer a loss against the other, and that's going to push that other team out of the equation. Well, what happens if you have a list of teams and some of those games didn't get played? You know, most of them will, but what if some of them didn't get played? And all of a sudden now you're, instead of choosing from a pool of like six or seven teams for four slots, you're choosing from 12 or 11, because the schedules got so manipulated because of the virus that attrition didn't really happen on the level that we thought it would. And that's what I think is going to be interesting about, outside of, again, keeping all the players safe, right? That's, again, paramount. But one of the things that I'm looking forward to seeing the way college football answers this is, what will the season look like? What if a team is only able to play eight games? What if a team is able to play 12 and the other team they're competing against played 10? What will the committee do? How will the committee evaluate all this? What if there isn't a mutual game to compare two teams to? Not only against each other, but against a major college, a common opponent. So when you have Texas and Oklahoma and they play each other, and then, but Oklahoma loses, but Texas beat that other team. What if Texas doesn't play that other team? What if, I mean, that, those are the dynamics that I think are in play here. But this isn't going to be like any other sports entity that's out there that's trying to control its schedule as much as possible. Now, we know there's contingency plans in place for baseball, for example. They may have to cancel a game or two or a series or two if a coronavirus outbreak has been, you know, blown up. But in college football, there's no way to make up the games, and there's really no way, you wouldn't want them to anyway. And unless you're moving these to neutral sites at the last minute, there's going to be states where it's going to be really, really too hot to play. I mean, again, I'm looking at Florida, and that needs to calm down a lot before a team decides to descend in that state. My son's going to the University of Florida, and I'm nervous for him. I mean, there's 4,000 or 5,000 cases a day that's going there. But how they plan to do this, I'm very curious about how they're going to evaluate this. Because there, you know it and I know it. There are games on the schedule that we all look forward to, because it does answer a lot of questions about where the playoff committee is going to go. But if those games, and not all of them, but just enough, kind of make a mess of this schedule, I'm going to be really curious. Because to me, again, this is uncharted water. But, you know, this is a whole new dynamic to this coronavirus and the return to sports that we don't know how it's going to play out. We take the NBA teams, we shove them to Disney World, we wrap up a regular season, but we get into a playoff. Keep them in a bubble. Major League Baseball is going to do its very best to keep everything as tight as possible. Hardly any travel. Play within some geographical area. 60 games, major testing. Okay, great. The NFL plans to just kind of go on as business as usual, but there's going to be a health and safety protocol that's going to be in place. But what's college football going to do? Conference A versus Conference B, they're going to do things, as try to be as uniform as possible. But we all know that certain areas of the country are going to be more dangerous than others, and those schedules are going to get affected. So anticipate that when we get to the college football season. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, as we continue with Wake Up Call and SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. So, graduations going on across the country. High school graduations. My son graduating on Monday in a socially distanced graduation. You know what they're not doing, though? They're not making it less boring.
How are they doing it?
They're doing, like, spacing on the football field.
So they are, like, doing like a traditional look to it?
Traditional look, but, yeah.
You guys allowed to attend?
We are. We're given a certain amount of tickets, so not everybody can just go, but then we'll be seated in the grandstands, spaced out from other families.
I mean, to be honest, graduation, attending a graduation ceremony is probably the worst.
It's the worst.
Unless it's your kid.
Well, even if it's your kid, I'm not looking forward to it. I mean, I'm looking forward to the one moment that he gets his diploma, but I'm not looking forward to hearing the names of the other 300 kids he goes to school with.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's no way. Even if it's your kid, there's no way around it. We have not taken graduation and changed it to be a more entertaining thing.
No, we haven't.
It is the worst. We have, and even my son and I were talking about this yesterday, and he goes, I know it's good. He goes, you think it's boring for you. I got to sit there and wait for my name to get called, and I'm a D, and I'm going to get called early, and then I got to sit there, and I got to wait for another 275 people to get their names announced.
See, my high school graduation, they did it the right way. They had it in four sections, and so they had four different names being called, one right after the other.
That's a good idea.
So, like, I was in the A to F section. I don't remember how the actual breakdown was, but they figured it all out, and I was like A through F. So my, you know, section one would have been called, you would have heard my name, and then immediately after that you heard a name from section two, which would have been like G through M. So it was just constant, you know, there was just constant names. So even if your last name was W, your parents weren't waiting until the very end. Well,
yeah,
still waiting till close to the end, but.
But here's the thing too. They make it now. I kind of grew up in small schools. So I don't know if this was going on when I was going to school around the country, but like my kids, we had eighth grade graduation,
yep,
right?
Same here.
And we had, they were prepping you for this moment. All the way, like, it's going to get worse. Believe me. Parents, you think this eighth grade graduation ceremony is terrible. You wait 4 years from now. Ha ha. You don't know what's coming.
You want to know what was worse? I had an eighth grade graduation, but the high school I was going to didn't have a ninth grade. They started at 10th. So then I went to another junior high school and graduated again a year later.
Kidding. No kidding.
So I had two junior high graduations back
to back. I'm just going to say, here's the thing. I don't like going to weddings, and I don't like going to graduations, and that's nobody likes going to funerals, but I don't like going to two things that are more celebratory, right? I'm not a wedding guy, but as I was telling my daughter this, I'm fine with the cake. I've got invited to a ton of weddings where I'm just like, look, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm just not a wedding person, but I've gone because I respect the people and I respect their day. So I've gone to people's weddings, but it's not my favorite thing to do, but at least in the wedding, everything is about the people you know.
Yes.
The whole thing is about people you know.
The speeches.
Right. So when somebody gives a toast, like even if you don't know the groom really well, you're more on the bride side. At least when the groom gets up to give the toast, it's like, well, it's connected. I may not know this guy really well, and he's telling funny stories about how the two were in college and they were doing this and that, but at least it's connected to somebody I know. Graduation isn't. Graduation is the one moment your kid gets up, gets the diploma, and unless they're giving a speech, you know, that's it. So, and even the speeches, you know, like, oh, we're going to change the world. I'd love to give a graduation speech where I'm going to tell them they're not going to change the world.
Yep. You're right? Just going to be a part of the...
You're just going to be a part of the machine.
Yeah. You're just another cog in the wheel.
That's right. Another cog in the wheel. That's right.
Although when you look back at whoever you graduated with in your senior high school, there are some, we had some success stories.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm one of them, but.
Well, you graduated for the guy who invented Uber. That's awesome.
I mean, that's probably the biggest success story.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Other than that, no, there wasn't too many.
Yeah.
A couple doctors, some lawyers thrown in there.
I'm just not looking forward to getting there and they go,
Ashley Alexander. Oh, God. Like 5 minutes later, it's like, Bob Adams.
Still
like,
in the A's.
Oh, you got to be. Are we still in the A's? What are we doing here? And then my kid gets up and is like, yeah! And then
Whoa!
They go into Bob Elliott. Oh, shoot. And we're here forever. Just screaming. And then finally, Zachary Zacharias. Oh, that's got to be it, right? That can't be any more than that. We're at the Z's. We're going home. Oh, God, I can't tell. And it's going to be hot, too. It's not even been indoors. Ugh. And do they still do da-na-na-na-na-na? Do they still do that? Is that still a thing? Because that was a thing when I graduated.
I'm almost positive. I mean, where else is this song ever going to be played again?
Because you know what?
When you hear this song, it's graduate. You can't play this. Like, you can't go to a concert hall and then have somebody just play this just because it's a good piece of music.
If my parents ever sit down and ask me, hey, remember when you were like in fifth grade and we got you a trumpet and you played trumpet for a lot of years? Why did you all of a sudden just quit? I'm going to tell them this. This is why I quit trumpet, because I had to go to every single graduation from my high school to be the band that performs this stupid song. And I was the third string trumpet, so I didn't even get to do the good stuff. I got to do the bump, 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 over and over and over and over again while these clowns marched to their seats to collect their diploma and celebrate getting out of that place that I had to still stay for a couple years. I had no interest in this whatsoever.
All right, you're complaining about that. What do you think of Triangle Guy?
Oh, Triangle Guy has got to be the worst. Bing, bing, bing for like an hour. And everybody had to take those small steps together with somebody else. This is going to be the worst. I'm looking forward to the party afterwards. Looking forward to family coming into town to see him.
I'm
looking forward to all of that. That's going to be fun.
A little get together.
My wife actually created a candy bar. She's got a whole bunch of stuff on a counter.
A bar full of candy.
Right. She got glass jars from all the friends and like she bought some. And then she went to Costco and bought candy in bulk and just filled them up for everybody to go around grab candy.
So you'll be doing the show solo on Monday because of the sugar rush?
The sugar rush will be like, I can't take it anymore. That's right. So graduation. It's just funny. I'm seeing all my friends on social media like, my kid graduated, yay! And I'm like, yeah, okay, now there comes the one. Now, my college graduation was easy. They didn't even bother with names. They just were like, here's your department, get up and get it.
Yep.
There you go. They like too many people. They weren't doing this. Way too many people.
See, our college graduations were cool because we always had a celebrity.
Yeah, we did too, yeah.
Because, you know.
You probably had a bigger celebrity in Southern California.
Since we lived in L.A., yep. I got to see Jay Leno. Like, I would go to friends' graduation sometimes, too, just because they were like, oh, Jay Leno's giving a speech. Well, hell, I'm coming.
That's fantastic.
Why not?
That's great.
We had, what was his name? Paul Rodriguez.
Oh, really?
Because he graduated from my school.
No kidding.
Yeah, I remember Paul Rodriguez and Jay Leno. Those are the two that stick out in my mind.
Okay, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I got David McCullough.
I don't know who that is. But I will tell you this.
Neither did I.
I mean, it was Tonight's Show, Jay Leno.
Oh, right.
So it was when he was doing, just say a quick phone call. Hey, you want to come speak at a graduation? Sure,
why not? I got nothing to do. I'll come to the graduation. It'll be fun. I'll tell some jokes.
Are you doing the head bob?
Yeah,
you gotta do the head bob when you talk like that.
Can I bring one of my cars? Yeah, right? You're lucky.
Had I known, I would have waited for him to show up. Had I known at that time, I didn't know he had cool cars.
Yeah, right?
You know, he had a garage full of cars, and I'm like, oh, man, what's he driving up in?
Yeah, Peyton Manning did one of his Peyton places with Jay Leno, because Jay Leno apparently has one of the cars that, when the NFL was forming, it was like, there was a car that was famous for that, and Jay Leno bought that car. When it was putting together its business plan. Jay Leno has it. His garage is apparently fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a museum.
It's a museum.
I mean, it has every car ever made, I think.
It's wonderful. So good for you to see that. I didn't get that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't remember the speech because it was college and it wasn't mine. So
I don't even remember who our valedictorian was. And I went to a small school, but I cannot remember who gave the, I beat you all out in the grades, so
that's
I get
funny.
To talk.
Yeah, I can't either.
I have no idea. Aren't we supposed to remember those things? Aren't we supposed to go, yeah, it was Bob or Bill or now, Samantha?
Since your son's school, I mean, he's graduating and it was all messed up because of COVID.
Right.
Did they even do superlatives this year?
No, that's a good point. No, they didn't do that.
See, that was always upsetting because you're always looking forward to best smile,
and, right?
And best athlete, most likely to succeed,
right? Most likely to succeed, or most likely to be in jail, or most likely to, you know, those kind of fun ones. Those are good. Yeah, no,
so they didn't get anything.
No, so I don't know. Like again, I don't know if it's going to be when. Let's say you know we go 20 years down the road and coronavirus is gone and we look back on this time and we're like, wow, it was wild and we shut down and whatnot. I wonder if he will look back or if a lot of the 2020 class of 2020 will look back and say, you know what? I got the most unique close to my high school career than anybody I know.
Yeah, they did.
Right? Or do they look back and go, man, our prom was screwed up and the normalcy of my senior year was taken away from me? Because my wife is on the fence of, she feels sorry for these kids that they didn't get the complete senior experience. And I'm the exact opposite. I'm more like, I think in the end, they'll look back and go, you know what? I graduated in the crazy year of 2020. Hopefully there's no more crazier years down the road.
Nah,
but if this is an isolated year, I think the class of 2020 goes, yep, you know what? It was nuts. Absolutely nuts. But you know what? We're unique.
I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because you think about it, it's like, yeah, when they look back on their senior year, like, man, we stopped going to school in March.
Yeah. That was it, right? There was no feeling of, this is it. This is the last time I'm walking these halls. They were just told to go home and we'll tell you when to come back. And then they never went back.
Yeah.
Right. That's basically how it went down. So but I think people will look, I mean, again, hoping that 2020 is just this isolated ball, but you know, everything got screwed up. My son's school's prom went from being an indoor event to an outdoor event and then back to an indoor event. And there were kids who wanted to go and when it was an indoor event, didn't really want to go when it was an outdoor event, so canceled and then went back to indoor and was like, oh, we're scrambling to get tuxes again. I was like, they can't make up their mind what they want to do. But, you know, that's 2020 for you. So if you're graduating out there, have a son or daughter that is graduating, both college or eighth grade or high school, congratulations. If you had to sit through the ceremony, you have my sympathies. Because, again, they're not – I wish there was a way we could do it. I wish there was a way somebody – it's almost like people are afraid to go, hey, these are boring. Let's figure out a way to make it exciting for mom and dad so they don't just pass out in the heat while they're standing outside waiting for the kid's name to be called. Apparently, nobody's ever thought of that before. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll get to that coming up as we continue along on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up next hour, we'll talk about Malcolm Jenkins and his comment that football isn't essential. But we'll talk about that coming up as well. And on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Michael on Twitter, Liverpool winning the EPL is comparison to Georgia winning the SEC championship in 30 years. They may have won a national championship a few times, Champions League, but not the SEC. That's not exact comparison, but gives you an idea. Yeah, this Liverpool thing, man, all I'm seeing is videos of the big celebrations for Liverpool winning the Premier League.
It's a great
big deal.
It's a great day in Liverpool.
Man, oh man, it's a big deal. Now it's becoming a big deal in the Americas. Here in the United States.
Well, it's because we don't have any sports.
That's right. We might as well crown a champion.
Yeah, we got to celebrate other countries' championships.
That's right. Might as well crown a champion, have some sort of championship. Listen, we're doing that. Do you think that there will be a street celebration for the team that wins the NBA title in Orlando in the Disney bubble?
No.
Like, let's say, if it's Milwaukee, would they go crazy? Or they go, oh, we won. Yay.
But can you have a parade?
You can't have a parade. Can you have a Let's see. Can you have a spontaneous celebration in the streets like what they're doing in Liverpool?
I mean, okay. I guess the question is, can they or will they?
Will they? I think that's my question.
Is there going to be
the same outpouring? Like, do you feel like if you won the NBA title in Disney World in front of nobody, do you feel like that's going to cause me to just storm the streets and just go nuts, turn over a car? I don't know. Just go crazy.
What about baseball?
See, baseball, the same thing.
Because it's going to be a shortened season. You know, if you win the World Series, do you feel that it's a legitimate World Series?
That's what I'm wondering. Because there's these feelings like we're getting a champion, but it's not going to feel like we got the same kind of champion.
Yeah, because at least with basketball, I think part of the thing is, I mean, even though there weren't any fans in the stands, the game was played, and the games have been played in their stadiums.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. I that's an interesting question. Like in baseball, I don't think it happens. I think you're just like, okay, good.
Yeah, right. Michael also on Twitter, I'm jealous because I love David McCullough. That's who spoke at my college graduation. He's one of my favorite authors. I didn't know who he was at the time. I do know now. He goes, I grew up in a military town. We had Colin Powell speak at ours before anybody had ever heard of Colin Powell. Well, that's kind of cool. Well done. Well done. Yeah, congratulations to all you graduates out there. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.